Blog Talk Radio.
Friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina, and this is Black by Color, only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostle for black. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or I'll push the kick button, and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat-free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. Well, hello everybody out there. Hope today finds you doing well. If you would like to be a guest to call into the show, call-in number is 646-478-5284. 646-478-5284. And you can call about anything related to subject matter. Once again, pay attention to the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. If you come in here indulging in character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, excessive profanity, random insults and trolling and things of that sort, I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Okay? I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just make sure what your comments and statements are seasoned well with respect. And I will gladly return the favor. So, but anyway, let's get on with the show. Before I do that, I want to let people know I will not be having a show next Saturday. That's the Saturday of Thanksgiving. I will not be having a show next week. Oh, excuse me. I don't know why I'm so tired right now. But I will not be having a show next week. So just want to let you all know that. And also, the weekend of Christmas and the weekend of New Year's, that's a period of 2 weeks, I will not be having a show. So basically, after next Saturday, that's my end of the year run until the new year. And just want to let people know, I'm going to be starting a podcast, Lord willing, sometime between February and April of next year. I'm not quitting Blog Talk Radio. I'm not quitting that, but I feel the need to start a podcast, and it'll be called WVEB, True Sharks Radio, and it will consist of what you hear on this program and also my other program that I do called Profit or Loss. But if you go to Anchor, Anchor is the podcasting platform that I'm going to be using, and you can go to Anchor and just look up WVEB True Sharks Radio. I already put up an introductory podcast on that platform already, and tell me what you think. Check it out. I'll be glad to take anyone's advice and whatever. to be honest with you, I'm a little nervous about starting a podcast because, of course, I've never done it. I've done Blog Talk Radio now for about 12 years, for more than 12 years, to be honest with you. And thinking that the experience that I've learned here on Blog Talk Radio is going to transfer over to a podcast is, well, it's probably not reality, okay? I do think it takes a special skill to do a podcast, not as special as, you know, being an Einstein or something like that, but I'm real nervous about it because, like I said, I've never done one, and sometimes you question your ability to do certain things, and I just say, you know what the heck, I'm just going to do it, and whatever comes up, I'll just improve my brand over the years, just like I've done here on Blog Talk Radio. So it's an exciting new venue for me to start, and I should be starting that in February or somewhere between February and April of next year. I got to get some things in place and whatever and get that started. So, but anyway, hope you guys are doing good today. This Saturday before Thanksgiving, in light of all that, I just want to tell people, just be thankful that you still have blood running warm in your veins and you're sucking in air. You got a roof over your head. You can eat. You got clothes. You got a job to go to. You got a vehicle that runs. Yesterday, I attended the funeral of my uncle. He was 77 years old. He passed away little more than a week ago. And the thing I don't like about getting older is that people that you've known for all your life, they're starting to check out now. You know, I've had a great uncle pass away in 2007. My grandmother passed away 2009. My stepdad passed away in 2014. My aunt, she passed away in 2016. And now my uncle, and now he wasn't my biological uncle. He married into the family. He was the husband of my mother's sister. And he passed away. They had his funeral in Washington, D.C. And, of course, I didn't go up to D.C. to the funeral. I viewed it over over YouTube. And I tell you, folks, life is precious. And anytime you can look up and say, hey, you know, I'm glad to be alive. You can still suck air and still view the blue sky and hear the birds singing, see the flowers blooming. You can feel the chill in the air now and everything. Just be thankful to God that you're still alive, you know, because there are probably thousands of people who didn't wake up this morning and you're still alive. So that's an opportunity for you to get done what needs to be done or anything like that. But anyway, I'm not here to harp on that too much, but just be thankful, you know. Well, you all, I wonder what the big news was this week. It's so hard, you know. I had such a hard time getting a subject together for today's show. Oh, I know. That Rittenhouse kid. We all know about the case with Kyle Rittenhouse. My goodness, I turned my microphone up and it sounds better. But anyway, we know about the case of Kyle Rittenhouse this week. He was on trial for murder, for illegal possession of a firearm and the powers that be in the media, they wanted to jump on this and say, oh, that boy, he shouldn't have had a gun. And he just went out to cause trouble, and that he was a little white supremacist, you know, because the people he shot, they were protesters at a Black Lives Matter event. But here's the thing, the people that he shot, all three of them were white. They were all white. but they still make it like he was a white supremacist, you know, and that he was out there to cause trouble. He was a vigilante. He thought he was Batman or something like that, and that he just went out there to cause trouble. And, of course, you got your race baiters out there. They want to push the thing. Oh, you know, he got off because he's a white supremacist. And if he were black, he'd be dead already. You know, all the other usual nonsense that they spout out on a daily basis. And you listen to these people. And it really does produce a weariness in you. Like, here we go again. Here we go. All right. Here we go. You know, some people were upset that the judge had to kick out some preachers. Was it the Cal Rittenhouse? I think it was. They had to kick out some preachers out of the courthouse. Of course, one of them was Al Sharpton, another was Jesse Jackson, and people were looking at that like, oh, they don't like black people, so they had to kick them out. And I'm like, no, because Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton are notorious race baiters. They're notorious race baiters. And I think it was in the 90s, Al Sharpton started a protest. I think it was in Harlem, and it led to a Jewish merchant getting killed, getting stabbed to death. Nobody points that out, though. But, you know, but these guys are serious race baiters. And I'll go so far to call them racists. And all they do, that every time when we have a certain incident occur and they show up on the scene, they're there to get paid. They're professional race hustlers. And whenever you see these guys on the scene, to protest a certain incident or whatever, they're not there. They really don't care about the lives of black people. What they care about is how much green is going to flow into their pockets. That's all they care about. And they got kicked out of the courthouse, got kicked out of the room. And, you know, and some people were like, well, why did they kick them out? You know, they're just there to, no, they're there to race bait. That's all they're there for. And people wanted to pile up on Cal Rittenhouse that he was a white supremacist. Joe Biden did the same thing. He's a white supremacist, even though the two people he killed were white, and the guy he nearly blasted his arm off, he was white too. And not only that, all three of them were convicted felons. I think one of them was a child molester, you know, but all three of them were convicted felons. Now, I'm not saying that they deserve to get killed because of that fact, but that's what they were. They were convicted felons. But they wanted to pile up on Kyle Rittenhouse as, oh, he's a white supremacist and he did that at a Black Lives Matter. And the only reason why they make this a racist thing is because it was during a Black Lives Matter protest, which we all know, or we should, that Black Lives Matter really doesn't care about black lives. They're just like the aforementioned Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. All they're looking for is to get paid and get money in their pockets. They do not care about the welfare of black people, because if they did, all the funds that they have acquired through their activism, they would be using that to help improve the lives of black people. You don't see these people in the projects. You don't see them visiting these low-performing schools or anything like that. You know, earlier this year, Patrice Cullors got in trouble because found out she owns three properties. Was it three or four? It's at least three. And really, this should have gone a long way to expose their agenda, but of course, their detractors are going to sit there and say, oh, well, you know, they still care about black lives. And, you know, y'all don't say nothing about these people in it. Man, please, go ahead. But isn't it funny that we want to talk about Kyle Rittenhouse being a white supremacist? But I don't know if you all remember this five-year-old boy named Cannon Hennett, who got shot in the head by a black man, who was one of his neighbors. Black man walked up to the boy, shot him point blank range in the head. Oh, we don't publish that story because it doesn't fit the narrative. Oh, it's all right for, and basically when you hear these stories reported like this, they really don't care that Cannon Hennett got killed by a black man. Oh, that's not what we care about. We care about a white cop killing a black person. That's what we care about. That's what we's about. And I don't know why people don't put two and two together and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, now this situation was kind of similar, but we're not hearing about it. But this other situation, wait a minute, why are we focusing on this situation and not this situation? And to those of you all out there who are always crying racism about, you know, certain little incidents that happen and whatever, what would you say if the roles were reversed? What would you say? Would you be as upset if a black man had brought a gun it was a riot in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Would you be as upset if a black man had gone there to maybe a white rally and he ended up shooting three black men? Would you be as upset? I don't think you would. I don't think you would be. But we are so concerned about racism and white people and all this and everything and white supremacy. I'm so sick of hearing people talk about white supremacy. I just wish I could erase the knowledge of that term out of their brains, you know. White supremacy. You know, the attack on January the 6th, white supremacy. You know, every time, white supremacy. This country was founded in white supremacy. The United States is a white supremacist country. But you got dingleberries like Joy Reid, who can get on a news station, spout off her rhetoric, spout off her venomous rhetoric, and she gets paid millions of dollars to do so. And see, I'm kind of mad at myself because if I knew that you could get paid for being an idiot, I'd probably be a CNN reporter myself. But that's the problem. She can sit there and spout off about white supremacy and racism and white privilege and everything, and that's all she's about. That's why they hired her. You know, it was another dingbat that came before her named Melissa Harris Perry. But now you got Joy Reid, who is worse than Melissa Harris Perry, and that's saying a lot. But every time she gets up there, all she talks about is race. This may take some time. I want you all to listen to this woman spout off with her rhetoric.
All right, everybody. Good evening. We begin the readout tonight with two cases, which will once again tell us where we are as a country, whether armed, primarily white men can continue to take matters into their own hands and serve as judge, jury, and executioner, legally, under the law. There's a trial of teenage vigilante Kyle Rittenhouse.
Now, she's already started off by calling him a vigilante, which he was not. He was not a vigilante. He wasn't going there to be Batman and be a arm for justice or anything like that. That's not what he was there for. But the people who listen to her, they'll say, yeah, he was a vigilante. He was out there to cause trouble. That's what they do. That's a tactic that they love to use in the media. They love to demonize people they don't like to get you to feel a certain way about that person because they don't like them and they want you not to like him. So let me go on.
Where jurors just moments ago vote for the day. And the trial of father and son Greg and Travis McMichael and their neighbor William Roddy Bryant.
Okay, now the three names she just mentioned here, those are the men who are being tried for the Ahmaud Arbery case. And to hear people talk about the Ahmaud Arbery, the situation goes like this. This guy, he was just jogging. Oh, man, he was just out jogging, looking to lose a little weight. He was just out in the neighborhood jogging, not bothering anybody. Then these three white supremacists drove up, and they shot and killed him. I saw the video, though. And now, I'll be honest with you. They should. I'll say this. They were wrong for confronting him. Now, if they had a problem with him, they could have called the police and said, hey, there's this dude out here. Can you all come over here and get this guy and whatever? First of all, he was not out jogging. And a lot of people still believe that he was out jogging. He was not out jogging. And not only that, when the truck passed Ahmaud Arbery, went up a certain distance and stopped, Ahmaud Arbery ran up to the truck and confronted these two men and grabbed one of their rifles. Now, folks, can you tell me what you think is going to happen if Ahmaud Arbery had actually wrestled that rifle out of that man's hand? Do you think Ahmaud Arbery would have just taken it and just thrown it down and said, no? I really do believe Ahmaud Arbery would have taken that gun and used it on the man, I don't know their names or anything, but he would have taken that gun and used it. That's why he was shot. But we think that this guy was just out jogging, and these guys come up and they just shot him because he was a black guy jogging in their neighborhood, you know. And not only that, now this is what I think is ridiculous. The man who was recording the whole thing, they got him up on murder charges. And I'm sitting there like, how in the world y'all going to get him up on murder charges? But when you start throwing race in and you start twisting a little bit here and twanging a little something over there you go. But let me go on.
They said accused of murdering 25-year-old Ahmaud Arbery in what many have called a modern-day lynching.
A modern-day lynching. She said what some call a modern-day lynching. I wouldn't go so far to say some. I'll go so far to say that she thinks it was a modern-day lynching, too. Let me go on.
Men claim that this was just a citizen's arrest gone wrong. Today, Arbery's mother had to witness horrifying autopsy images of her son. She walked out. The family's been receiving moral support from a number of faith leaders. Yesterday, the lawyer for Brian requested that Reverend Jesse Jackson be removed from the courtroom, just as they had done previously with the Reverend Al Sharpton.
Jesse Jackson, I believe, is still here. He is, Your Honor, I think we all know, an icon in the civil rights movement. Not just a witness to it, the personification of it. And in other circumstances, I think everybody would be happy to have their picture taken, maybe get an autograph. But in the context of this trial, we object to his presence in the public gallery inside the courtroom. I guess the next question is, which pastor is next? Is Raphael Warnock going to be the next person appearing this afternoon?
Oh, the mind reels. The judge denied the defense's request to remove the Reverend Jesse Jackson from the courtroom. Late this afternoon, the state rested its case against the three men. Now comes the defense's turn. Meanwhile, in Kenosha, Wisconsin, the jury in the Rittenhouse case had been deliberating since this morning. Rittenhouse shot and killed 36-year-old Joseph Rosenbaum and 26-year-old Anthony Cooper. He also shot Gage Grosskreutz, nearly severing his right arm. Rittenhouse has pleaded not guilty, claiming self-defense. The prosecution argued that Rittenhouse was a chaos tourist who lied about what happened that night and provoked the initial interaction with Rosenbaum, which set in motion the chain of events that night in August of last year. Since then, Rittenhouse has become a right-wing hero. Mark and Patricia McCloskey, remember them? The think.
A right-wing hero. Of course, that's, folks, that's a key word right there. That's a buzzword. Right-wing hero. And it talks about the McCloskeys who last year, I think it was in Atlanta, these people broke into their property. They stayed in a area where there were a lot of affluent people. And the protesters broke into this area, which was illegal, And the McCloskeys were like, okay, these folks ain't coming in here destroying our stuff. So they came out there with their guns, showing the protesters their guns, which I think the McCloskeys need a little training on. They need a little gun training because they were just waving their guns around and everything. But that's neither here or there. I digress. People try to make it out that the McCloskeys, oh, they see a bunch of black people on their property. They're on the sidewalk. And that they see a bunch of black people and they're waving their guns trying to intimidate a bunch of black people. But no one tells you that that property was private property. That entire area was private property. And these people illegally broke through a gate so that they can stomp rocks in this affluent area. And like I said, these people were, you know, they didn't need a little gun training the way they were holding their guns and whatever. But like I said, I digress. That's not my point. My point is the media made it out that, oh, look at these white people. They're over here pointing their guns at black people and trying to intimidate black people. And then those of us who don't learn how to study and research, and we like to respond with our feelings first instead of trying to gain more evidence of the incident, we just jump right in and say, yeah, they're white supremacists. Let me go on.
Was couple pardoned by Donald Trump when he was president for aiming?
Listen, she said they were pardoned by Donald Trump. She doesn't like Donald Trump. And see, they're trying to connect them with Donald Trump. They're trying to connect Rittenhouse with Donald Trump. All of these people who come up against Black Lives Matter and the protests and other and stuff like that, they always like to connect them to Donald Trump because Donald Trump is he's the catalyst. He's the leader of all these white supremacists. So if we connect these people to Donald Trump, then this makes what's going on in the world today more of Donald Trump's fault because he's the king of the white supremacists. Let me go on.
Guns at Black Lives Matter protesters? Well, they've showed up the past 2 days to support Rittenhouse. They claimed that the teenager, who, mind you, shot and killed two people, is the real victim, the victim of cancel culture. And another weird twist, Rittenhouse actually participated in choosing the final 12 men and women who will decide his fate by pulling numbers from a Tumblr, like a macabre game show. The 6 he randomly chose become alternates. Here's what that looks like.
Wireless family plan state.
She's trying to make it like Kyle Rittenhouse actually handpicked these people one by one when they said they put names in a bowl, and that's how they chose the jurors in his case. He didn't just say, I want that guy, I want that guy, and I want that guy. He chose names out of a bowl. But once again, they want to spin it their way. They want to try to spin it their way and make it like that this boy, you know, he chose his own juror so he could get off, you know, because he's a white supremacist who's attached to Donald Trump and these other folks. You know, that's all they're trying to do. They're trying to smear his name. And let me, I didn't prepare this.
Money, but then you have to deal.
I didn't prepare this.
Family.
Right.
So I got visible. Okay, unlimited data for most 25.
Bear with me, folks. I'm trying to get past. They got these commercials on here and everything, so.
Visible. Switch and get up to $200.
Please put them in the top.
There we go.
And, be able to rotate it, and then the defendant will draw 6 of the numbers.
Now, they're showing Kyle Rittenhouse reaching into this Tumblr and pulling out these names. He hasn't picked out personally his jurors. He's reaching into a Tumblr. He doesn't know the names he is going to pick, but they make it like, oh, he's choosing the jurors in his case. But we can sit here and see that he is reaching into a tumbler. They put a bunch of names into this tumbler. They rolled it around, and they told Kyle Rittenhouse to reach in and pull out, you know, these names. So.
Another, the jury, it is for you to determine whether the defendant is guilty or not guilty of each of the offenses charged.
There's a very real possibility that he would face an all-white jury, but after that drawing, four white men, one black man, and seven white women will decide whether he is innocent or not.
So what are you mad about? My point is, what are you mad about? I mean, it wasn't an all-white jury. At least you got one black man there. I mean, really. But of course, you know, we'd rather have more black people there. You know, because it'll probably be more fair. It'll be more balanced and everything. You know, look, he got 11 white people, you know, vouching for him, but just got one black man. But see, Kyle Rittenhouse's actions didn't involve one black person at all in the first place. Now, I'm not saying that's why you shouldn't have a black man on the jury. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, don't get mad because there was only one black man on the jury. You know, once again, Kyle Rittenhouse didn't pick these people out because these are people that he thought would get him off. And that's what she's trying to push. That's what she's trying to make this seem like.
Or whether he's guilty or not guilty. Joining us now from Kenosha, MSNBC correspondent Shaquille Brewster. Shaq, can you give us a sense of what the scene looked like in and around the courtroom today?
Well, Dre, you saw a steady flow of protesters outside of the courtroom, about two dozen or so. They, about an hour or so, went around Kenosha, or at least the downtown area, marching. And, you know, I should also note, it's not just protesters or people who are protesting against Kyle Rittenhouse, but you also have people who were here to support Kyle Rittenhouse and say that he was acting in his self-defense and saying that he was the victim in this case. We do know that in just the past couple of moments, Dre, the court is out of session. The jury broke. They are going home for the night. They will return at 9 a.m. Central Time tomorrow. They deliberated, or at least have been away, for about 8 hours today as part of their deliberations. And we didn't get that many tea leaves from the messages and the notes that came from the jury. We did get a sense of earlier in the day that they did ask for more copies of those jury instructions, which go on for about 36 pages. They initially asked for just a section of them and then asked for full copies of the entire instructions. And we also know that they had lunch. They had a lunch for an undetermined period of time, and they had pizza. But outside of that, we don't really know what's going on behind closed doors, but we know those deliberations will extend into tomorrow, Joy.
And real quick, Jack, you know, you've been talking to people outside of the jury. What's the sense of people's sort of prediction? Because I think in general there's a lot of cynicism, particularly among African Americans. I wonder if the people who were protesting against what Rittenhouse did, do they think that he will be convicted just when they were talking to you?
Frankly, they don't. And part of this is pushing that. They think that they want to push and pressure the jury or pressure the court to hold Kyle Rittenhouse accountable in their words. We spoke to some business owners yesterday, and, you know, one thing that we even heard from them, some business owners who were affected by the protests turned riots back in last August after the shooting of Jacob Blake, one thing that they said, while some of them decided to board up their windows one more time, they said while they think that Kyle Rittenhouse came to Kenosha to start trouble, while they don't have favorable opinions of Kyle Rittenhouse, they also believe that at least this one business owner that we talked to, that he shouldn't be found guilty by this court or by this jury. So you do have a mixture of opinions there, but the sense and the sense among even those who are opposed to this and who want to see him held accountable is that it's a high bar that the prosecution is going to have to clear.
Shaquille Brewster, thank you very much. That was a great job. Appreciate you. All right, joining me now is Kate Fang, attorney and MSNBC legal contributor, and Paul Butler.
Well, let me just stop it right there. As you all know, that Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted on all five counts. He was acquitted. So now they're up in a tizzy now. There are threats of violence because of Kyle Rittenhouse being acquitted of these charges. You know, and that's the thing that gets. First of all, it wasn't one black person killed. Not saying that these three men that got killed deserve to die. I'm not saying that. but they're trying to make this like this was a white supremacist moment. And he killed two white guys and injured a third. Not one black. And see, here's the thing. I think from what I heard, he had 30 rounds in the gun. People, if I'm saying anything wrong, please correct me. But I think he had 30 rounds in the gun. The guy who said he vaporized his bicep, he only shot him one time. Now, if the boy was out there looking for trouble or whatever, he would have kept on shooting. Of course, they didn't take that into account. And also, the guy that he shot his bicep off, he also admitted on the stand that Kyle Rittenhouse did not shoot him until he pointed his gun at Kyle Rittenhouse. Kyle Rittenhouse wasn't out there to cause trouble or be a vigilante or anything like that. And not only that, the people he shot, Kyle Rittenhouse tried to get help for them. He wasn't out there to cause trouble. And of course, there was a question about, you know, he's 17 years old, what's he doing with this gun and whatever, but he was acquitted of that too. And you got people, you know, while during this case, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse, I think he's a kind of emotional type of young man. He had a panic attack, and I know about panic attacks. He had a panic attack, and they sitting there, oh, he's crying, false tears, look at him. And when they read off the his acquittal, you know, he collapsed in his chair, and people like, oh, he crying for real now, you know, sitting there mocking him. I mean, and this thing, see, what they wanted another political prisoner. That's what they wanted, because they already got some political prisoners from January the 6th. You know, I heard that the guy in the bull outfit, I forget his name, he's been convicted to about 5 years in prison, which I don't understand that. I think that's a little hefty. I'd slap him on the wrist and be done with it. And while we're on January 6th, they still trying to make it out. That was the worst thing ever. That was the worst riot in American history. One person got killed, and that was a white Trump supporter. And then you get the police officers up there, you know, during the trial, and they're like, this was an outrage. And you could tell they were acting. You could tell it. I was outraged. I said, man, please, please. Now, if you want to do some acting, you know, go to Hollywood. You know, get you one of them gold statues or something, because you probably deserve it. But they want to make like, oh, man, January 6th. And they still want to say that it was Donald Trump that incited that riot, and Donald Trump did not incite that riot. But because people have been conditioned to hate Donald Trump and to see him through the lens of race, anything bad that's attributed to Donald Trump is believed at the drop of a hat. I was listening to a podcast. I've been listening to a podcast for the past couple of weeks called The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill, about a preacher named Mark Driscoll. And they were talking about how Mark Driscoll, you know, he brought this church up, and, you know, him and several other people, they founded this church in Seattle. And in 2014, the church just completely dissolved, just liquidated. And my point is not to talk about Mark Driscoll or Mars Hill, but my point is to talk about this publication called Christianity Today. I said, now there's something suspicious about Christianity Today, you know. And see, I get a little suspicious when I hear of an organization that calls itself Christian, because Christian is a term that we use very loosely in today's society. You know, anybody can be a Christian. Oprah Winfrey is a Christian, you know. I mean, and Oprah Winfrey is not a Christian. But anybody can be a Christian. And what I found out about Christianity Today, it was the paper was formed in I think it was in the 1950s by Billy Graham. And it's gained traction over the years. You know, this paper's been around for about 60 or 70 years. And I think 2 years ago, they made some accusations against Donald Trump, saying that Donald Trump is he's a moral failure. He's immorally unstable. Some term that they were saying, and they were going all off into Trump, and you know they saying, well, I'm not political or anything, but Donald Trump. They actually called for Donald Trump to step down from the presidency because of his morals. And I'm sitting there, you know, listening to this garbage. And they talk like Donald Trump is the most immoral. They actually said that he is the most immoral president we ever had. You know, they also mentioned this other preacher named Beth Moore, who, you know, she's basically a so-called Christian feminist. And she was upset because when they heard the Inside Edition tapes, you know, when Donald Trump said he said women will let you grab them by the kitty. She was outraged and she was like, oh my goodness. And she said she went to her peers, her tribe, and talked to them about this. It seemed like they just wanted to blow that over, just to gloss it over. And she was like, I can't believe that you people are not outraged about this. So let's talk about immorality right now while I'm on it. Let's talk about immorality. Well, Christianity Today and Beth Moore, were they upset at the immorality of, I don't know, Bill Clinton and his wife Hillary? Were they outraged at their immorality? Bill Clinton with Monica Lewinsky? Hillary Clinton with the Steele dossier? Were they outraged at that? Were they outraged at Barack Obama? Are they outraged at Joe Biden, Joseph Budinski, and Kamala Harris? Are they outraged at them? It's been rumored that Kamala Harris slept her way to the top. And Joe Biden can't even think his way out of a paper bag. Are they upset about that? Or they just want to focus on Donald Trump? And then they want to come up and talk about, oh, Jesus had humility. Donald Trump doesn't have humility. As if Donald Trump is the only immoral character we've had in the White House. I wonder if Christianity Today was upset back in the 1960s when Ted Cruz drove his car. He was drunk. He drove his car off a bridge into a river, and he had a female companion named Mary Jo Kopechne. Just left her in the car to die. And this has been proven time and time again. I wonder if they were upset about that. Oh, no, let's get upset at Donald Trump. Because, see, Christianity Today, see, this is one thing my 35 years or so of Christianity has taught me, that everyone who calls themselves a Christian really is not a Christian. People can say, you know, oh, I know this guy's a Christian. You can speak the word. You can quote the scriptures all you want to, but that doesn't mean that you are a Christian. If that's the case, then the devil is the biggest Christian ever, because the devil knows the scriptures up and down. And these guys, they'll sit there and they'll say, oh, well, we're not trying to get into politics. Or yes, you are. Now, I'm not saying Donald Trump is the epitome of morality. I'm not saying that. They want to sit there and talk about Donald Trump, he's committing adultery. He's not committing that now. No, Donald Trump is not a choir boy. I'm not a fan of Donald Trump myself. But you want to sit here and talk about the shortcomings of Donald Trump, but you totally ignore the shortcomings of everyone else. I didn't hear from y'all calling for the removal of Barack Obama or Bill Clinton or even now Joe Biden, who is really showing that he is not fit for the White House, or Kamala Harris, who people are now celebrating because since Joe Biden had to go in and get a colonoscopy, she's the first person, she's the first woman who's acting as president. And so everyone's like, woohoo, woohoo, we got this black woman president, yay. Even though it's for a few hours, yay. But I listened to this garbage from Christianity Today, and I already knew they weren't Christian. I knew that. Oh, they can speak the word. They can, you know, do certain things in the word and whatever, but these people are not Christians. If you're going to sit there and make a false accusation against Donald Trump because they talked about how he talked about immigrants and stuff like this, you can sit there and believe this rhetoric about Donald Trump when the Bible says that a person, a true person, and I'm just paraphrasing here, but if you are a truly righteous person, you're going to seek out a matter before you make a judgment on it. Don't call yourself a Christian. And not only that, Franklin Graham got up because his father started this publication, and Franklin Graham said, you know what, guys? My father is probably turning over in the grave because of you all's accusations against Donald Trump. Now, am I saying that our leaders should be Christians? No, I'm not saying that. The Bible is full of instances where ungodly rulers, God used ungodly rulers to carry out his purpose. I'm not there for that. I'm not the type of person to say, no, I'm not going to vote for him because he's not a Christian. That would be a bad reason for me to vote for somebody. Because, oh, he's not a Christian? Okay, I'm not voting for him. But this is the thing that gets me about our political... See, a lot of people who call themselves Christians, they're allowing politics to shape their beliefs instead of their beliefs shaping their politics. And it's a sad thing when you got people who are really not Christians, but they're doing more Christian actions the so-called Christians are doing. The Bible talks about Jesus talking about people when the day of judgment comes, they're going to be like, Lord, Lord, we did this for you. We did that. We did this. We did that. And he's going to say, you know, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. See, it's easy to call yourself a Christian, but it's another thing to actually live it. And I know people have heard this allegory before, but I can stand in an airplane hangar and call myself an airplane. But, buddy, if I don't get some wings, some jet engines, some ailerons and some elevators, I can call myself an airplane all I want to. That doesn't mean I'm an airplane. I can jump into the ocean and say, oh, I'm a shark. But unless I get a dorsal fin, some gill slits on the side of my head, and a big mouth with a lot of teeth, I'm going to jump into the ocean and drown. And probably get eaten by one. That doesn't mean that I'm a shark. And see, we got a lot of people out here who are calling themselves one thing, but their actions are showing that they are something different. Now, folks, I didn't get on here to preach. I did not get on here to preach or anything like that. Somebody needs to hear this, though. Because if you call yourself a Christian, there's a whole other set of standards that you have to walk by, and you can't just walk by the standards set by this world system. You gotta walk by the standards that are set in the Word of God. Because we are supposed, the Bible, well, we are called the ecclesia, which means we are called out. We are called to be separate, which means we are to be the example. We are supposed to be the light on the hill that shines in a dark place. But a lot of us, we call ourselves Christians, and we take a bushel basket, and we use it to cover the light that is supposed to be shining. Like I said, I'm not here to preach or anything like that, but see, you people out there that call yourselves Christians, and y'all go here and you vote for Joe Biden. Why did you vote for Joe Biden? And now that you voted for Joe Biden, you want to totally ignore the mess that he has made in this country, and you still want to attribute that to Donald Trump. And I'm talking to you Christian people. It's so-called Christian people doing this. When we talk about the gas prices climbing, we want to blame Donald Trump. When we talked about that fiasco that happened in Afghanistan earlier this year, we want to blame Donald Trump. When we talk about the situation at our southern borders, we want to blame Donald Trump. No, none of this stuff came to pass until Joe Biden sat in that Oval Office. So you can't blame Donald Trump. This is not Donald Trump's White House. This is Joe Biden's White House. And you people that call yourselves Christians, and y'all go by this garbage, you need to turn in your Christian card, because you are not a Christian. We're supposed to affect the culture, not the culture affecting us. I'm just saying, people. I'm just saying. You're going to vote for a person who supports abortion? And then when you talk to people, you say, well, why did you vote for Joe Biden? He supports abortion. Oh, I know abortion is bad, but what? Abortion is murder. Straight and simple. It is murder. And those of you all who always cry Black Lives Matter all the time, guess who gets killed most times in an abortion? Unborn black babies. But you all want to sit there and cry about Black Lives Matter. Y'all want to sit here and talk about the Tuskegee experiment. And you get all riled up when you hear about that. But you don't get riled up about the Negro Project. What's the Negro Project, you may say? Oh, it was this program that Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, she came up with this scenario to go to black churches, because she was like, black churches had the biggest influence on the black population, and convinced them to tell their black congregants not to have all these babies. She pushed her contraception on them. And a lot of black people were forced into sterilization, even up until the mid-70s. And because she was a staunch racist. She said black people are weeds that needed to be exterminated. Said they were human weeds that needed to be exterminated. But yuck. But black people today, so-called black Christians today, we'll sit there and cry about the sin of abortion, but then we'll vote for somebody who supports that very act. We'll sit there and say, remember the Tuskegee experiment. But we're totally ignorant to the Negro Project. And then we'll come around and talk about, oh, I love you, Jesus. No, you don't. No, you don't. Don't give me this I love Jesus garbage. get up there and start singing the songs. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm living in the overflow. Oh, I'm looking for my breakthrough. Why don't you break through all this garbage that's going on in the society today and actually be a real Christian instead of one nominally? Stop being a nominal Christian and be an actual Christian. See, when I call myself a Christian, I don't take that lightly. That's not just something I say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. That's not something I take lightly. But if you call yourself a Christian and you don't go by the word of God, then you ain't no Christian. It's the same thing I say about people who talk about what's constitutional and what's unconstitutional. You don't know what's constitutional, and you just blabbing that off. You're just flying off at the lip. But until you go into the Constitution to show why this is constitutional and why this is unconstitutional, you're just bouncing your lip. That's all you're doing, bouncing that nasty lip of yours. And I have an extreme contempt for so-called Christians out here who go out and vote for people like Joe Biden because they were going to get Kamala Harris because she was a black woman. People who voted for Barack Obama because they wanted to be a part of history to have voted the first black man into the presidency. That's not Christianity. I'm just saying. Anyway, it's coming up on the top of the hour. And let me get these advertisements out of the way. And when I come back, I will probably hit the phone. So you fruit bats, start gathering. But anyway, you are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
Welcome back to the Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with this person. That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance will come in with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Homeless veterans who are living on the streets should be way more important to us than the illegals who are criminals for breaking into our country and breaking our laws. There is a group here in New Mexico who cares about those veterans here in Albuquerque and the state. The Veterans Integration Centers has their Operation Rapid Response program going that helps these vets get their lives back on track, helping all veterans and their families leave homelessness behind, regardless of where they live in the state, and this is a good thing. Eligible veterans include veterans that have served at least one day on active duty, veterans who are or have served in the National Guard or Reserve Forces, unremarried surviving spouses of a veteran that would have been eligible if alive today. The program is designed to help any eligible veteran or surviving spouse in the state by either providing direct assistance from one of our staff who will meet the veteran where they live, or assisting another care coordinator already providing services to our veterans with financial support to meet their needs. All discharges except dishonorable will be considered for eligibility purposes. Any veteran or surviving spouse without a DD-214 or NGB-22 can be supported if we can verify their veteran status or that of their loved ones. Please talk to our team. Funds and services are available anywhere in New Mexico. Care coordinators do not need to be licensed professionals. We help homeless problems by giving an apartment to the homeless veterans rent-free until they can get back on their feet. The money donated to this cause helps with the rents and other things in need for our veterans. This is a much better use for our money than giving it to illegals who did nothing for our country. Our vets who put their lives on the line for us should be the ones concerned. It is good to give back to them. For more information, please contact our outreach specialist, Alyssa Bond, at alyssa.bond@nmvic.org or call 505-355-9869. That's Alyssa Bond, spelled alyssa.bond@nmvic.org or call 505-355-9869. If you know a veteran in need, give us a call, and God bless you for your help.
Show everybody, if you would like to call in number 646-478-5284, 646-478-5284, and the big subject today on the program was the acquittal of Kyle Rittenhouse, and I totally agree with him being acquitted. The boy did nothing wrong. Of course, the media wanted to demonize him as some white supremacist and whatever, you know, trying to make him into a white supremacist, which he didn't have any interaction with any black folks or anything like that. They just called, they pinned that name on him because the incident that involved him and these other three gentlemen happened during a Black Lives Matter protest. So they were like, oh, okay, he hates black people, so he's going there to deal with black folks. And, well, these white folks attacked him. One attacked him with a skateboard. Another one pointed a gun at him, and he defended himself. He didn't just fire off a hail of bullets and, you know, bonsai, you know, or anything like that. He, you know, he defended himself. And his mother even said, if my son hadn't had that gun, he probably wouldn't be alive today. But nobody's saying anything about that. And while I'm on that, the guys that got shot, their last names are kind of weird, you know, so I'm not going to even try to pronounce them. But shouldn't the guy that survived, shouldn't he be prosecuted for pointing his gun at Kyle Rittenhouse? See, we so focused on Kyle Rittenhouse, but the guy who pointed a gun at him committed a crime too, pointing his gun at Kyle Rittenhouse. But you know, I don't know if they're ever going to convict him. I really don't think so. Just like they didn't convict the guy who was Michael Brown's accomplice when he robbed that convenience store in Ferguson. They didn't convict him either, and he was there with Michael Brown. They just wanted to focus on the racist white cop. But anyway. I'm having some type of trouble here. I can't hear too much right now because I hear too many flapping wings around here. Oh, I think I know what that is. Anyway, that's my fruit bat alarm.
That's for those of you all who are in the queue on my phones. If you come here trying to show yourself, you know, through character assassinations, trolling, ad hominem attacks, random insults, and excessive profanity, I'm going to give you the warning now. You might as well hang up. Or if you continue on, I will hang up for you. Okay, so like I said before, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just be agreeable in your interactions on this show. But having said all that, let me pull up my first caller. What's going on here? Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Oh, pretty good. Hang on for a second.
Hey, you fruit butts. Fruit bats. Stand down. Stand down. Yeah, everything's cool. Stand down.
About 500
hey,
of them over there.
What's up, man?
About 500 of them over there, man. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you know, you said pretty much everything. You covered it all. We need to look at the criminal record that Blake had. See, here's the thing. If I'm not mistaken, he had a court order. The lady, well, he is known for abusing women, which he admittedly testified to.
Yeah.
Black women, too. Nobody's saying nothing. A black woman beat her. But he wasn't supposed to have been at that party. So he disobeyed a court order, which you know there's a large group out there of that culture that don't comply to no authority. And in doing so, he put them kids' lives at danger. And they say he came there to kidnap the kids. I guess that would be taking kids away from their mama. And he admitted he had a knife. He also said he had in mind about getting shot and killed by the police. Wonder how these people get this stuff in their mind. Do you think it's because you got these idiots out here telling these young people that the police is out to kill them? Well, they should be also an accomplice to whatever happened to him. But going back to the other premise of my remarks is that if he hadn't been there and followed orders of the court, none of that looting and rioting would have happened. He wouldn't have got shot. And Kyle Rittenhouse wouldn't have been on trial. You see what I'm talking about with the cause and effect?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And those of you all who don't know what Pianchi is talking about, he's talking about the case of Jacob Blake, who was shot by the police 7 times, and he was paralyzed. And this is the reason why people were rioting in Kenosha. And two, I will go so far to say this. If the police had done their jobs or had been allowed to do their jobs, we wouldn't have had a riot, and we wouldn't be talking about Kyle Rittenhouse at this point in time either. But, you know, they were told to stand down, you know, because I don't know, I guess they got a thing about police officers killing black people for, you know, whatever reason, you know.
That excuse is black privilege.
Out there, yeah.
Well, like I said, like we said, if he hadn't been so damn defiant of authority and stayed away from that party, like the court order said, stayed away from that woman, restraining orders.
Yeah.
Then everything that happened when he came up on the scene that was supposedly been the excuse for all other things that happened behind that would not have occurred.
Yeah.
But see, people don't look at it like that. They look at the picture and pull out pieces and parts that, like you said, fit their narrative.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
This failure to comply. This failure to have respect for authority. And then I told you about this cancer cult, how you had a police officer on the Norfolk, Virginia Police Department, a white officer by the name. And, you know, it's just terrible what happened to this guy, man. I mean, some stuff just don't make no sense. But anyway, yeah. William Kelly, Norfolk, Virginia. A white officer. You had Norfolk City Manager Chip Filer. They fired him for donating to Kyle Rittenhouse Defense Fund. The chief of police is a black man, Larry Boone. He done all this on his own time, on his own computer, at his own house, from what I understand. So when he donate to Kyle Rittenhouse Defense Fund, like I did too, I said I did also, he gets fired. You see the mentality in this left? And look at all the other remarks people made by people that's coming there, like Maxine Waters. Did Maxine Waters go there? I thought she was elected in California.
Yeah, exactly.
What is Jesse Jackson doing there for? His son went to jail for doing some corrupt stuff, stealing, I think, as a congressperson for Illinois. Al Sharpton. What about Tawana Brawley, Al?
Yeah.
You got that girl, woman's life messed up, having her to lie on those white men. They were supposed to accost her and wrote all kind of racial slurs and slang on her body. This, that, and the other. Come to find out, it's all a lie.
Yep.
The Duke lacrosse case, all a lie.
Everything.
Nobody said nothing about that.
No.
You just talk about the other.
This is evidence of the conditioning that a lot of us have gotten through the media. We allow the media to do our thinking for us. And, you know, the media, they know that if they do a certain story, they can get a certain response. And if they get that response, their ratings go up. And, of course, if the higher your ratings go, there's probably more money in it for you. It's all a money grab, really. You know, it might sound complicated, but it's really a money grab. Hey, whoever gets the story out there first or does the best job on the story or whatever, you know, they tend to profit from that. And so, and I tell people, this is the reason why that I don't trust the news media, is because we sit here, we think that that person in that suit and that tie or that nice dress and them heels, they're sitting there telling us the truth. They're telling us what's actually going on. No, they're giving you a gift wrap package that they have snipped, that they have cut here and they trimmed there and everything, and they fit it together like some Frankenstein monster, and then they wrap it up, put a bow on it, and they pop it out at you to get you to think a certain way. See, the media is not out there to give you, they say they're out there to give you news, but really they're trying to get you to think a certain way, and that is why we have people out here, why the NFL can put end racism in their end zones because of these certain little incidents that happened within recent years that had nothing to do with a person's skin color or anything. You had a bunch of people who made a bad decision, and because they made the bad decision, they met up with a bad consequence. And now we're sitting here like, oh, that happened because this person was black. Breonna Taylor, she was sleeping while black. Ahmaud Arbery, he was jogging while black. Sandra Bland, she was driving while black. That had nothing to do with their skin color. But these people are so conditioned to think a certain way, it's gone off into cognitive dissonance. The truth doesn't matter anymore. You can gift wrap the truth to them, and they will not accept it. You can make the truth look pretty and whatever. They will not accept it. They accept their conditioning, but they will not accept the truth. And that's the problem that we're facing today. And the media knows what they're doing. When I play those clips by from Joy Reid, you know, who's got to be one of the biggest ones out there, one of the biggest race-baiting media analysts out there, you know, people will listen to Joy Reid and they'll be like, yeah, oh, yeah, she's right. This is racist. This, you know, and you can show them evidence that nothing that what they are pushing has anything to do with race, but they will still believe, they will still go along with their conditioning.
Well, what you said has a lot of truth. And a lot of this is coming from these, what's being taught in these schools. I listened to a show where you had a professor from a University of Connecticut. Her name is Manisha Sinha. She's Indian born. And she's anti-American, anti-conservative, anti-Trump, anti-Kyle Rittenhouse. And she's on this show. Well, I called into the show and asked her, can you tell me about the Dalits, the untouchables in India? You know, she's a Brahmin. She said she wasn't. She's light. She's the white in India.
Yeah.
So the host gets kind of key and going to cut me off, protecting her. That's another problem you got. You got blacks out here that talk about this history stuff, and they love to hear only one side.
Yeah.
They only want to hear the one side. And generally, it's not federal government-sponsored convictions that's going on. These are individuals.
Yep.
It's easy to go and find an individual and talk about it and put them in a history they never meant to be in and make it sound that it was all throughout the country. No, these individuals, white individuals, but you don't talk about the black individual.
Yeah, exactly.
And you look at the things that they done could be also just as racist as anything else. As if racist incident or racism is only associated to someone who's white.
Yeah, no.
And we let them get away with that.
Yeah. And you hear these people talk about reverse racism. There's no such thing as reverse racism. Racism is racism. You know,
that's right.
Black to white to black. There, you know, I hear that, and I'm like, when I first heard it, I said, reverse racism, what is that? And it's, you know, racism of a black person against a white person. I'm like, wait a minute. How? No, it's just racism, you know. And we once again, is still trying to attribute actual racism with white folks. White folks are the arbiters of racism. They're the ones who invented it. They're the supreme racist and all this and everything. And I'm like, y'all, come on. It's racism, you know. And, you know, I don't buy that crap about, you know, old black people can't be racist because we don't have the power. You don't need the power to hate somebody of another race. You know, I mean, that's all that racism is upholding your race against another one, you know. But
absolutely.
Anyway,
if it's racist for a white person to call you, and this is the act, calling somebody a disparaging word, like the N-word or the C-word, like the word nig and R, and like the word crack and cur.
Yeah.
It's the calling of the words, no matter who's saying it. Because in Chicago, let me tell you two numbers. 2,813 and 366. Now, look, those ain't lotto numbers. I know you want to write them down and run out and buy you some lotto tickets. So hang on before you go take it off. This past Tuesday, or Wednesday, November the 16th, would have been the 169th day since the first shooting of blacks by blacks, which now totaled on November 16th, 169 days ago when it began, which was Memorial Day weekend, 2,813.
Good gracious.
366 murders. Nobody's talking about that. And I guarantee you, when one of those people shot another one, they used the N-word. So was it a hate crime?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Well, see.
And they shooting kids. Not just grown folks, but kids.
Yeah.
Kids as young as 1 year old in Chicago.
Yeah. We just blow over that fact. We, you know, no, black lives matter. The police are hunting us down. Nah, not with hunting
each other.
In St.
Louis,
down.
Your carjacking as young as 10 years old. Carjacking.
Yeah.
Black boys.
Yeah. that's where they carjacked the reporter's car.
They want to blame Kyle
funny,
Rittenhouse. Mama saying that she need to go to jail for taking him across state lines. Well, what about the black woman in St. Louis? Her and had her 11-year-old black boy, accomplice, carjacking. And he gets in the back seat after she convinced this driver to give them a lift. Then he started pistol whipping the man upside the head with a pistol. 11-year-old.
Yeah.
The mama reached over and take the keys out. They get him out the car on the ground. They take the car and they gone. Nobody say nothing about that. Then, what about this kid in Arlington, Texas at the school? What's his name? Simpson?
Yeah.
The black boy.
Yeah,
18 years old.
Yeah. I forget his
name. With gold teeth and a diamond earring. His parents bought him a $30,000 charge in high school. He's on video.
And said he was being bullied, and it turned out he wasn't being bullied.
Yeah, he's on video fighting a 15-year-old black boy, picking him up, throwing him around. Then he goes out to his car. He premeditatively goes to his book bag and gets a pistol, a gun, and comes back and shoots the boy he was fighting. I think he shot him four times. Then he recklessly, I use that word they try to use on Kyle, he recklessly shoots two other people. And it has nothing to do, a teacher. Guess what his bail was, Bond? $75,000.
I forgot. Yeah, I saw that, yeah. I said, are you kidding me?
Then the white police officer only... The white police officer charges him with simple battery. Ain't this an itch? Here you are.
I mean...
Don't not only try to kill the one after you premeditatedly went and got the gun, you also do harm to others.
Yep.
Then he comes home to a party, a big welcoming party. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. I said, you got to be kidding me. For serious.
Then they say he's been bullied all year long. Okay. Well, why come all year before the time that this happened, you didn't try to stop it? I think his mama's in jail. I'm not sure. Why come you didn't try to stop it? If they knew it had been going on all year, why come you didn't try to stop it? Somebody need to be filing some damn good lawsuits on that.
Yeah.
The Rittenhouses need to file lawsuits against CBS for printing that he was a murderer before the trial even was in.
Yeah.
The same way they tried to do the Sandman kid. Remember him?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, it's a whole bunch of junk going on with these leftists that's causing all these problems.
Yeah. It's a really big mess that they've created in this country, and you got a lot of people who are confused, and they don't even know that they're confused, and it's just adding to the mess that we keep seeing, and it seems like every day it just gets a little bit worse. Every single day it just gets worse and worse and worse, and you know that's why I tell people. You need. I'm not saying you need to be a bookworm like me or anything like that, but you need to read something. You need to study something. You need to learn critical thinking skills. You know, instead of just allowing your emotions to get the best of you, and you use your emotions to judge whatever situation that you see coming at you. You know, and that's basically what people are using. They're gauging things by their emotions. And that's why we have so much of the mess going on. But I got another caller here. Let me get this caller on here. I think this is Sarge.
Another fruit bat.
Yeah.
Hold your breath.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Well, between you and Pionk, it ain't much left for me to cover. But you know, hold on a second, Vince. I gotta go swat this fruit bag. Excuse me, just a minute. All right, I got it out the way. Now let me see if I can answer your question about Grosskreutz. Okay, since you know you did ask a question about it, and this is what's on the record about Mr. Grosskreutz. Mr. Grosskreutz has been convicted of domestic abuse, prowling, trespass, two DUIs, felony burglary, and two charges of carrying a firearm while intoxicated, one of which took place, and he was banned as a felon from carrying a firearm. Now, this is what's really interesting. Just 6 days before Grosskreutz took the stand, Grosskreutz was before a judge himself at a hearing at which a pending DUI charge, a second offense that saw him three times over the legal limit, was dismissed on a technicality. Now, had Grosskreutz's latest DUI charge not been dismissed in such a timely manner, Rittenhouse's defense would have been allowed to question him under oath about the fact that he was on bond and the nature of his offense, which would, of course, would have severely damaged Grosskreutz's credibility even more and would have even more damaged the wholesome image of a law-abiding citizen who just wanted to be a paramedic at out-of-control fascist-style demonstrations, which the prosecution tried to offer up. So that's the little deal about Grosskreutz, Gage Grosskreutz. Yeah, another convicted felon. And you know the guy Jump Kick Man came forward. Jump Kick Man is another convicted felon. So all four of the people that Kyle Rittenhouse was involved with. Now, think of the odds. You got a mostly peaceful demonstration with mostly peaceful demonstrators, and the four people that get shot by a kid lawfully resisting, lawfully protecting himself, using self-defense, four of the mostly peaceful protesters are all convicted felons. What does that say about the nature of who these demonstrations attract? Which, of course,
mainstream media
just doesn't seem to be able to even take note of. But you know, y'all did cover most of the details pretty good. But look, let me tell you something that I think is even more insidious in many ways, because it's one of those things, you know, in propaganda, when you just repeatedly repeat big lies and distortions, they tend to become perceived wisdom. And I have no doubt this is what these people are trying to do right now. How many times you heard a connection with Kyle? He crossed state lines. He crossed state lines with a weapon of war. Now, how many countless times were the words cross state lines used? I don't know. I lost count at about 1,500. I don't know. I mean, I know you were counting, but I, like I said, I stopped counting about 1,500. And let me tell you what it is.
Yeah.
Now, just think, he might have even crossed state lines without a vaccine passport. Can you imagine the horror of that?
I mean,
now,
really.
These same people aren't particularly concerned about illegal aliens who cross international borders illegally at our southern border.
Yeah.
But Rittenhouse, a United States citizen, crossed state lines to go to a community where his father lived, where he had a job, where he just got through working the job as a lifeguard the day before, where he went to clean up graffiti in a neighborhood, as I said, he worked at, where his grandmother lives, his uncles live, his cousins live, and his best friend lives. Just think of it. An American citizen crossing state lines.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? We need more federal laws about this, don't you think? They also told a lie that his mother drove him there. Now, this is just a flat-out lie because she worked the night shift at the hospital she worked at, 16 straight hours, came home and went to bed. Kyle Rittenhouse hitched a ride to Wisconsin. His mother didn't drive him there. They lie, and they lie, and they lie, and they distort. You cannot count on them to tell the truth about anything. He went 21 miles from his house to go to a community where he worked, where his fathers, his friends, and many of his relatives live. And he's a United States citizen.
Yep.
I mean, that over and over, and I'm going to tell you what this is more than anything. Let's look at the big picture here now. We got these details about, we could go on and on about prosecutorial misconduct, which was legion in this case. I mean,
yeah, oh
legion.
Gosh.
I'm glad
really?
We got a jury verdict, because that's always best, a jury verdict of acquittal. But the judge would have been completely within his rights to issue a directed verdict of a mistrial with prejudice and just let that boy out the courtroom so he wouldn't have to go through all that nonsense. I understand why judges are reluctant to do that, but given the rampant level of misconduct in this case, it would have been completely justified. But here's the thing that's really behind this. They are telling us loud and clear, as Pianki alluded to earlier, and you did with the McCluskeys in St. Louis, that was the beginning of it, although nothing like this where, self-defense was actually vindicated by overwhelming evidence. Just think if that overwhelming evidence wasn't there. It was just direct testimony of witnesses. They would have thrown this kid in the dungeon. Here we got, I've never seen a case where there was more evidence of innocence than here. Not just, reasonable doubt, but absolute innocence. I've never seen a case, honestly, of self-defense where it was so clear. Never. Never. But
everything happens.
Here's the reason it's all going down, Vince. They are telling us that we citizens do not have the right to resist their brown shirt fascist shock troops and the lumping proletariat that are enlisted to carry out the agenda of these Marxist elites who wish to fundamentally transform this country. You will not resist. If you resist, we will crush you. These are our shock troops. They are not to be resisted, and you are to surrender to them. You are to allow them to destroy your property and take your property because it's time for wealth redistribution. We're not going to charge you if you go in there and you shoplift and take things away. We're not going to charge you if you burn down property. Doesn't this highly extolled Pulitzer Prize-winning fraud, Nicole Hannah Jones, did you not see her, the one behind the 1619 Project? What did she say, Vince?
Yes.
No, there's nothing wrong with destroying property that can be replaced.
Yeah.
If
you're
practicing a righteous cause. I'm not lying. I watched her say this.
And Lord have mercy on your soul
if you resist our troops. You know, we are sending our Staatstruppen, our Sturm Abteilung, and thou shalt not fight back. Surrender. Submit. I'm telling you, man, that's what this is all about more than anything else. And I tell you, we better get ready for this. We better get ready. This pushback is what's got to be done. And I'm getting tired of hearing about, well, we need to come together. I have no desire, no wish to come together with people who are fanatical, who are ruthless, who are Marxist, who are totalitarian, and who are invidious and destructive. I don't want to come to grips. I don't want to accommodate with them. I want to defeat them. And if we don't defeat them, we will have no liberty in this nation.
Well, I tell you what, I'm ready right now.
Yeah, something I wanted to say, too, you know, Sarge mentioned the crossing of state lines. That rhetoric has been pushed ad nauseum. But it's something else, too, that's been pushed, too, is the fact that Kyle Rittenhouse was a white guy. If he was a black guy, he'd be dead. And I'm sitting here like, y'all have got to be serious. y'all can't be serious here. You know, I mean, that's the rhetoric. They just want to keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing. If he was a black man, he'd already be dead. You know,
here's the point. I know where the McCloskeys live. They live right there off King's Highway, right off Pershing.
Okay.
Well, see, here's the thing. These people that broke that damn gate down, supposedly going by Mayor Lyda Crewson's place. She didn't even live on that street, by the way. It is a private street. If they had came in off of Lindell, they would have had to go back through the guard. He wasn't going to let them in, so they break the gate down on the King's Highway side. You looking at a picture of them, him, her, and her husband. But what were they looking at? You don't have a picture of them. What were they looking at? Were they looking at guns, too?
I mean, really? I mean, that's a good point to bring up, though, right?
Well, let's look at what they're saying, Vince. What they're saying now is now they're really lamenting and denigrating the whole idea of self-defense. They're literally saying that here's a NBC legal news analyst named Curtis Houck, and he says he's complaining about the toxic and really dangerous combination of, listen to this now, liberal self-defense laws and accessibility of guns that was exploited by Kyle Rittenhouse, even though it was his fault that he put himself in danger. Now imagine that for a minute. Our laws of self-defense are immediately based in English common law. That goes back hundreds of years. And that law is based on the idea of biblical self-defense principles, which literally go back millennia. That's what self-defense is based upon. And now these people want, since we've had things like Trayvon Martin and Darren Wilson and Mike Brown and all that other stuff, you know, all these other persons where clear case self-defense under English common law, translated to American common law throughout the states, 50 states of the Union, has what constitutes lawful self-defense. Now they're saying, since this is another one of those things founded in the racist basis of the nation, the everything in the nation, all laws are literally founded in white supremacy and slavery and abuse and oppression. That's, remember now, that is the basis for critical legal theory. That is the basis of it. That any law created under this system inherently, per se, must be racist and therefore must be fundamentally transformed. Now they're going after the idea of even attacking the very idea of self-defense. This is pure, unadulterated Marxism described as critical legal theory and critical race theory and everything else. It is a desire to completely transform this country. The American people are starting to catch on. Finally. The people who have a desire, you know, basically decent people who have a desire to get along with others because you don't want undue strife. You want to have tranquility. You want your kids to be able to be educated in peace. And you think actually reaching out and being reasonable and rational with other people will solve the problem. It will not solve it with this bunch. They do not want the order that exists. They think it needs to be annihilated, destroyed, or otherwise fundamentally transmogrified into something it has never been. There is no accommodation with these people. They have to be defeated, and that's it. Then maybe they might go through an epiphany, and maybe a few of them might get a little common sense. But I damn sure ain't going to count on it, because I've been watching what they've been doing for the last 30 or 40 years.
Yeah. And you know when all this started, too, was with Trayvon Martin and the Stand Your Ground law. They tried to demonize that and say that was a form of white supremacy and that affects black people, you know. And that was just the start of it right there, you know. Now they're saying you can't defend yourself. They're basically saying, hey, if somebody wants to kill you, just let them kill you, you know. I mean...
Yeah,
well, you know, here's the thing.
Every now and then, just lay back and take your beating. Remember
here's
that fool brought that fat slob of a prosecutor's ass? And you know, when I was doing research during the Zimmerman trial, and guess what I found in my research? I looked at the people, ever since the law had been passed, I looked at the people who had invoked Stand Your Ground defense in Florida. Now, remember, George Zimmerman never invoked that as a defense. He said it was simple self-defense, didn't have anything to do with stand your ground. But since the issue was raised at court, I looked into it to see what the status of stand your ground was, particularly with regard to people of color and minorities, black people, invoking the stand your ground law as an affirmative defense, you know, at trial, because it's an affirmative defense. You have to raise it, and you have to list your reasoning as to why you use self-defense or deadly force in self-defense. You know, you got to list all the reasons. And in my studies, I found that disproportionately the beneficiaries of the Stand Your Ground law were black people and Hispanic people.
Yeah.
And white people were not represented in Stand Your Ground successful. Talk about successful Stand Your Ground defenses. White people were not represented anywhere near in their ratio or their proportion to the population as compared to black people and Hispanic people.
Well, here's the thing, and you're right. When you look at that, when you go to a gun show like this one in St. Charles County, Missouri, on the Missouri side, on the St. Charles side of the Missouri River. When you go to that gun show, you got tons of black females that's in there buying guns.
Yeah.
Who are they protecting themselves for? Who are they defending themselves from? They defending themselves from other blacks.
Guaranteed.
Exactly. Nine times out of ten.
I'll tell you one thing. I know this for an absolute fact. I know if you look at the historically recorded cases of white supremacy since the Civil Rights era. I'm going to date this from, say, 1964. Well, that was a successful conclusion when the Civil Rights Act was passed. But let's say 1964. From 1964 till today, the death toll on blacks committed by white supremacists, racists, and others does not equal 1 year's death toll in Chicago. Not one. Committed by blacks on other blacks. I guarantee it's not even close.
I don't think that many blacks died in the big flood.
Look, I guarantee you this. I mean, you can look at every recorded instance where a death of a black person was attributed by homicide to a white supremacist or Nazi or Ku Klux Klansman or whatever. It probably doesn't even issue half 1 year's death toll of black people in Chicago. And we know that 96 or 98% of black people killed in Chicago every year these days, or I don't know, last 20 years or so, is done by other black people. We know
the Huffington,
but then if you mention this, you're trying to change the subject or you're deflecting or something.
The Huffington Post
literally hate fact. When fact does not comport with their agenda, they don't want to hear it. It's like, la, 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 we don't want to hear, we don't want to know. Because that's not our objective anyway. Our objective is to make the structure change. It is critical theory writ large. Critical theory writ has policy. Critical theory writ has fundamental transformation. And we got to keep that in mind every time we hear these goofballs say they make their ridiculous assertions, like Ayanna Pressley. Ayanna Pressley got up there. What did she say the other day? She said, man, this is really rich. And I hope she's one of the ones who Kyle Rittenhouse bankrupts. Listen to this. A 17-year-old white supremacist domestic terrorist drove across state lines armed with an AR-15. He shot and killed two people who had assembled to affirm the value, dignity, and worth of black lives. Fix your damn headlines. Ayanna Pressley. You know what, Ayanna Pressley? Yeah. One of those angels you just cited was Joseph Rosenbaum, who was chasing him while calling him a nigger.
See?
and you know, I'm saying, I hope this man either bankrupts these people, we give him enough money to hire enough legal help so he can bankrupt these people, just having to hire lawyers to fight it, or he just wins outright judgments against them and just takes that money and starts conservative think tank foundations. That would just please me to no end. You know,
I think Joe Biden needs to be one of those.
Judge gave Kyle Rittenhouse back his rifle at the end of the deal there. I'm not sure, but I think he
may
did.
Have. Yeah. And I think Joe Biden needs to bear responsibility for it, too, because he was calling him a white supremacist.
He called him a white supremacist.
Not directly, but indirectly he did. He used his likeness, a photograph of him, while associating that picture with white supremacists. That should be enough because Kyle Rittenhouse is not in any sense of the word, despite all this, now the trial and everything, he's not a public figure. See, public figure is kind of hard to sue over slandering a public figure. If you become public, you're an activist or politician or something like that. But when you're a 17-year-old kid like Kyle Rittenhouse, and the President of the United States does that with no evidence whatsoever, no convictions, no nothing, just assert and associate you with white supremacists, given the toxicity of that label today and what it can do to destroy your life and your career, then you need to be brought into court to see if you can be rendered the target of a judgment, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And I like your point about how many black people have died at the hands of white supremacists since 1964, because that's the thing, you know, that's the thing that really frustrates me about this whole white supremacy thing. They always talk about, you know, you got certain powers that be talking about, we calling this group terrorism. We're calling, but the biggest terrorist in this country is the Ku Klux Klan. And I've always said, well, how many people has the Ku Klux Klan murdered in the past 50 or 60 years? You know, and compared
to how many black people they got. You know a number that's out there that was printed by the Huffington Post, that black men have killed other black men at the tune of over 35 years, 324,000 plus.
Good gracious. Wow.
324,000.
The black homicide rate was the same as the white homicide rate in this country. The United States would be about number, in comparison to seven major countries of Europe, we'd be about, or eight or nine, we'd be about eighth or ninth on the list. The black homicide rate is what skews the homicide rate in the United States so high. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't talk about it because it's off limits.
Yeah.
I mean, they do everything they can to inhibit you in your ability to just simply point out facts. I mean, mathematical numbers.
And only 13% of the 13% of the population committing most of the crimes in this country.
It's not even that. That wouldn't even be accurate. It's literally a group that comes from 3% of the population, and even that isn't most of them. You're talking about out of that group, 3%, maybe one half of 2% or 2% or one half of 1% is what's doing all this.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, that the Bureau of prisons, crimes, that's whatever that bureau is that does the report, of the white women that's raped, 30% of them are done by black males.
Well, I know this, that according to the FBI Uniform Crime Report,
that's the one.
That of all women who report being raped, I'm talking about white, Hispanic, Asian, and others, the universal women who report to the police that they were raped, the offender that they identify is identified as a black man. That's 80% of women. Now, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, that doesn't necessarily mean that that number is correct. I'm talking about of those who report it to the police. That's what I want to stipulate to.
Yeah.
80% say that a black man raped them, a male offender raped them. And you know, I mean, these people doing what they're doing, I mean, it's one thing after another after another. Listen to this. This is from Jesse Bodine, who's helped to help to create the chaos in San Francisco. You know, he's the DA in San Francisco. And this is what he's backed by George, so he's a tool that George Soros installed in office. Listen to what he wrote. This verdict demonstrates that our work to make our legal system equal, fair, and just is more urgent than ever. Prosecutors have a critical role to play in criminal justice reform and securing equal justice under the law. We'll continue our fight for justice. People like him are directly contributing to the chaos. People like George Gascon in Los Angeles. People like Kim Gardner in Missouri. People like Larry, in Philadelphia, Krasner in Philadelphia. All these DAs, by not prosecuting criminals, by saying there are certain offenses they won't even bother to prosecute, and letting people out of jail without bond and everything else, they are directly contributing to the rising homicide rate and the rising violent crime rate. Directly. And then they're going to lecture us.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Corey Bush, I mean, every time that woman opens her mouth, I say, good God almighty. What sort of election would a preacher like that in office? Did he hear what
she
wrote?
She's got a big one to open.
This is from Corey Bush, the judge, the jury, the defendant. It's white supremacy in action. This system isn't built to hold white supremacists accountable. It's why black and brown folks are brutalized and put in cages while white supremacist murderers walk free. I'm hurt. I'm angry. I'm heartbroken. Straight out of the 1619 Project. It's all propaganda. It's agitprop.
Yeah.
None of it is based in fact or truth.
In her community, Interstate 70, running through St. Louis from downtown to about out to Lucas and Hunt, you can't drive that because you got people on the highway shooting at you. Pull up alongside of you and just start shooting. If you don't get shot that way as you approach Goodfellow going westbound, you're going to get shot from the fools on the streets there around Walnut Park.
I mean, like I said, I mean, how you reason with people like this? It's impossible.
They don't care about reason.
They are demagogues, pure and simple.
Yeah.
It's pure demagoguery, man.
They don't care about facts.
Right out of, and remember now, unbelievably, Joe Biden just put a communist from the Soviet Union to be in charge of a critical sector of the American economy at the federal level. She's having a hearing before the Senate right now. She thinks bankrupt the energy industry. She thinks there shouldn't be private bank accounts in private banks. They ought to all be under the AGs of the Federal Reserve System. Yeah, and then she lies about it. And then she's hiding her thesis from Moscow State University, where she went on a Lenin scholarship when Russia was still the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. You can't make this up.
I tell you. Well, one of the main tactics that they like to use is a diversionary tactic. They like to divert to some other subject. Like you mentioned about the rapes that most rapes are committed by black people in this country, but they're still talking about, well, if a black woman is raped by a white guy, well, give me an instance where a black woman is being raped by a white guy. You know, I can tell you it's probably extremely rare for that to happen in today's country. You know, I mean, maybe it happened during the civil rights movement and everything, but this day and age, it's very rare, but they always want to divert to that. Oh, if a white person rapes a black woman, oh, he gets off scot-free. Well, show me the instance within the last, I'll say 20 years, how many white people have raped black women. And
Vince,
it'll be hard to find.
Vince, tell me something, Vince. If a black woman today gets raped by a white man, do you think that black woman is going to report it or not? Do you think it's likely she's going to report being raped by a white man if she was raped by a white man, other than Tawana Brawley? I'm not counting her. Or than Crystal Gayle Mangum. I'm not counting her either. I'm talking about a normal black woman, not a criminally inclined black woman, a normal, everyday, average black woman getting raped by a white man, survives the event. Do you think she's going to report it to the police? I would think so. Well, we have to believe that white men are committing mass rapes of black women is believed that black women don't report it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're not reported. I mean, you got maybe a couple of dozen reported a year.
You've literally got hundreds
and thousands of rapes of women by black men. Now, white women, when they're raped, they're usually raped by white men. That is true.
Yeah.
But when the rape is interracial rape is almost always done by black male offenders against white women.
Yeah. And it's almost like they have a sense of loyalty that some of the black women, when they are raped by a black man, they don't want to say anything because they don't want to see another black man end up in prison. But this guy just committed a crime against you. It does, you know, why are you so loyal to your, you know, to your skin color, basically? And this guy committed a crime against you, but you don't want to see another black man go to jail, you know? And I think that's the reason it doesn't get reported.
Women today are more, I don't even think many black women raped by black men are going to keep it a secret. I think they're going to report it.
Yeah.
Especially today.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I really think that, you know, the figures are reasonably accurate, certainly. Undoubtedly, there are women who would never report being raped, no matter what the race of the offender, because they just don't want to be involved with it. But I don't think that's many women of any race. Not today.
Yeah.
Black women aborted over 20 million babies in 30 years. Black babies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
yeah, but we don't talk about
every one of those babies was an innocent life to every single one.
Yeah, yeah, but we don't talk about it. But anyway,
talk about it. Then that's too sensitive a subject. I mean, do you think a woman? Here's the response you get when you say that. Do you think a woman wanted to do it? I don't know whether she did or not. All I know is that she did. There's a dead human life that was ended before it could really begin. What do you want me to say?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
what do you want me to say? Yeah. I mean, the end result, every successful abortion ends a human life. There's no getting around it. Now, you got to ask yourself, is that acceptable? Do we think that is a societally acceptable reason to end human life? We've got Kyle Rittenhouse here in clear peril of imminent death or serious bodily harm. And we're arguing like crazy about whether or not he was allowed to do it. But women killing millions of their innocent children in the womb, well, do you think she wanted to do it? Well, she
did.
They're
still giving him death threats.
How many women are kidnapped and held down and forced to abort against their will?
They still leveling death threats at him. I think we're going to have to go up there and help protect this kid.
We probably will.
I can help. I'm ready to go.
I'm telling you. Well guys, I hate to end it off.
He's got first-rate security, actually.
Yeah.
So I've heard
that
they have a first-rate security team protecting him.
Yeah. Well, I hate to end it on that note right there, but we are at the end of the show. Thank you guys for coming on. Got to give you guys a shout-out, Sarge and Pianchi. Just to remind everybody, I won't be having a show next weekend. That's Thanksgiving weekend, and I'm going to illegally cross some state lines because I got some I got some business to take care of up in Washington, D.C., so I'm going to be crossing state lines illegally.
In order to make sure you got your vaccine business. Passport.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, so, but yeah, next weekend, my wife and I were going out of town, and so I won't be having a show. And just as a reminder, on the weekend of Christmas and the weekend of New Year's, I won't be having a show then too, so nobody be caught off guard or anything like that. But thank you guys for coming on the show. Appreciate it. God willing, in 2 weeks, we should have another edition of Black by Color Only. Bring your friends, bring your mama, bring your grandmama, or whoever. But anyway, this is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you
bring
guys.
Bring some fruit bags.
Okay. All right. I'll see if I can find some. Y'all have a good... Y'all have a good holiday, and I should see you in 2 weeks.